A reading from Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the inheritance.' Then the father divided his estate between them. Soon afterward, the younger son gathered everything together and took a trip to a land far away. There he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, but I am starving to death? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. His father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then his son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Fetch the fattened calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the fields. Coming in from the field, he approached the house and heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. The servant replied, 'Your brother has arrived, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he received his son back safe and sound.' Then the older son was furious and didn't want to enter in, but his father came out and begged him. He answered his father, 'Look, I've served you all these years, and I never disobeyed your instruction. Yet you've never given me as much as a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours returned, after gobbling up your estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him.' Then his father said, 'Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'"
Thank you, Joy, for helping me out by reading that. I read it during first service and nearly killed me. Today, our scripture is a well-known parable that generally focuses on the younger son, who is labeled the prodigal son. And he is only part of the story. We start with his journey, but it extends to the whole family. According to Jewish custom, by law, the oldest son would get two-thirds of the property, and the youngest son would have been expected to get the remaining one-third. But an early request may have even been less than a third. The division of the property was normally at the father's death, although some divided earlier and retired. In this case, the younger son initiated the division of property, showing his disregard for his father's authority as head of the family. The father had the right to disown his son because of the request, and could have been what was meant in verse 24 when the son was being called dead. At least the son did not expect to be coming back once he left. What understanding can we get from the different points of views brought out in this story? And what can we apply to our lives today? The point of view from the prodigal son. Just what is a prodigal? Prodigal is someone who recklessly throws away what they have. The younger son did that very quickly. He threw away not only his inheritance, but also his relationship with his family. When he asked for his inheritance, he was rejecting his father. Then by moving to a distant country, he was rejecting his Jewish heritage as well. He quickly became caught in a downward spiral. At the point of the departure of the prodigal, he didn't even know what he had thrown away or that he had thrown anything away. He just wanted to get out of town, away from his father breathing down his neck, away from any danger of interference from home. He wanted to be independent of his father's control and advice. As long as his inheritance lasted, his conscience was silenced. Do what I want, when I want. It's nobody's business. I'll do as I please. That was his point of view at the beginning of his journey. He began his downward spiral by heading far to a faraway country where he could be free, or so he thought. Things happened in stages. Sometimes we wonder why people will not turn to God even when many people are praying for them, even when people are inviting and encouraging them. Why doesn't it seem to faze them? We wonder, why doesn't God turn that person around quicker? Why do people go from bad to worse and still not change? You might wonder the same thing about yourself. Why is it so difficult for me to respond to God's promptings in my life? Why do I continue on the same pattern? The same thing happened to the younger son. He progressed through several stages before he came to himself and realized where he was and what he had lost. Could the father have talked him out of it? Maybe. Could he have refused to give the inheritance in the first place? Yeah. He didn't seem to try to stop him, though. Maybe he knew that the younger son had to find out for himself and experience his own pain. This happens today in families, and parents often blame themselves when their children take the prodigal route. The first step downward was the son's waste of all of his resources. All right, she's been waving at me, and I've been seeing it out of the corner of my eye, and I was trying not to. Sorry, she's so cute. The first step downward was the son's waste of all of his resources, but that didn't seem to stop him. He partied and had lots of friends, and that was while the money lasted. It is interesting to take note that it was only after the money ran out that the famine also hit the land. So up until this point, he was not hurting all that much, but when the famine hit, Scripture says he began to be in need. At this point, things were getting worse, and he was beginning to feel the pinch personally. But that still was not enough to bring him to see things differently. He would just go find a job, and things would be okay again. He could make it on his own. And how many times do we feel self-sufficient in our need? We can make it on our own. We don't need God all that much. I can take care of it on my own. I've said that to myself many a time. He was successful in landing a job, but it wasn't a good one for that time. He still had his pride. He was not ready to go home yet. How many times does our pride keep us from something better? Because of our pride and self-sufficiency, we would rather continue on a downward spiral. He began to get hungry and would have eaten the husks that the pigs ate. The very poorest of people ate those. But no one took pity on him or even offered him any. The downward spiral was beginning to take effect on him now. He was not only broke, but hungry, too. He had finally hit his bottom. The turning point comes in verse 17 when it tells us, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?'" At what point in our lives do we realize our need for God? At what point do we give up our own "I'll do it my own way" attitude, or our self-sufficient way of doing things, our pridefulness that holds us back? Sometimes it takes many years for us to realize where we are and come to our senses. Once he realized that he was in the pig pen of life, he made some decisions. He said, "I will arise and go back to my father. And I will say, first, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Second, no longer worthy to be called your son. And third, he will say, make me a hired servant. This was a turning point in his thinking for him. Things have to change. Today, you might say, my life has to change. I have to do something about this. I can't continue to go on like this. You might be at a point of saying, I will arise and go. Many people will say, I know I should go to church. I know I should pray more. I know I should. I intend to do better. Others say, but I just can't get up on Sunday mornings. I know I should. I ought to. But I'm kind of preaching to the choir with y'all sitting in church this morning, but it's recorded. The prodigal son did more than a lot of people today. Verse 20 says he got up and went to his father. He didn't just talk about it. Some people do more than recognize their need. We have to take action also if we expect to see changes take place in our own lives. We can give the prodigal son credit for taking the necessary action to go back home. He didn't know if he would be welcome. He didn't know if he would get a stern lecture or an I told you so, but you wouldn't listen. Or if he would get the cold shoulder. He had already given up his right to be a son. He was willing to go back as a servant. He was willing to do the lowest job. He was hopeful the door wouldn't be closed to him. And the fear of rejection could have stopped him from even going in the first place. Is his repentance genuine? Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know what happens to him later on, but at this turning point in life, whether he deserved it or not, verse 20 says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to meet and received him. This gives us a picture of how God sees us when we are still a long way off. God comes to us. God sent Jesus to bridge the gap, to bring us back, to restore us. The repentant son said, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father took that as sincere repentance. God takes us seriously when we come to God. And then the father said to him, to the younger son, bring the best robe, put a ring on his finger, sandal on his feet. What is significant about these three things, the scripture speaks of a robe of righteousness that God puts on us as God forgives us from our sin and restores us to him in Genesis 41, verse 42. An example of the ring, a symbol of status and authority, and the sandals represent sonship. A slave did not wear shoes. The older son's story is shorter, less well known. He was the one who worked hard for his father all his life. He kept the rules and he lived by them. He had always done the right thing. But he shares a common problem with the brother. In many ways, he's a prodigal too. He thinks he is getting the raw deal and he's angry. Probably, rightfully so. He feels that things are not fair because his father is killing the fatted calf for the wayward son, and he's never done that for the older son. He recklessly wastes his opportunity, though, to enjoy the celebration because he has become angry and resentful. He becomes a prodigal because he also doesn't realize what he has, and he makes himself a servant who is working hard, who has made his relationship with his father one of pure economics. He doesn't care about his brother. He refuses to join in the celebration because of being resentful and unforgiving. The attitude causes him to be impoverished also. Perhaps the father was insensitive to the need for assurance that he was appreciated and valued in the family. The son was upset because he didn't even know about the celebration ahead of time. He wasn't even informed of it. He heard the music once the celebration was already in progress. And then when the father went to him and tried to help him understand that the son who had been lost is now found, the older son could not bring himself to forgive. How many times can we not forgive things that have happened to us even years ago? Forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. In holding on to his ill feelings, he was losing his peace and joy as part of the family. In spite of his inheritance, he was not enjoying what was rightfully his because his heart had become hardened. He was taking on the attitude of the Pharisees, who were judgmental and critical. The restoration is left unanswered. We don't know how the older son reacted. The ending is left to us. We don't know if he enters the house or not, but clearly he can if he wants to. At times we may identify with the younger brother, feeling rebellious or resentful toward God and others. We don't want God's watchful eye to condemn us for our choices or for going on our own careless ways. At other times, we are like the older brother who forfeits what is rightfully ours because of allowing unforgiveness and resentment to take over and drain us of all of the peace and joy. He did not feel at home, even when he was at home. At times, there may be many reasons why we don't feel at home with God. How can we, too, come home again? How can we enjoy the celebration of restoration? Picture yourself as the younger son running to the father. See him running to welcome you home. Hear his words of restoration for your particular need, whether a long way from home or at home yet far away in your attitudes and feelings. Receive the restoration back into your family. Because no matter what, love never fails. Amen.